Hi, class. Today I'm joined by one of my favorite parents that I've ever worked with when I was a special educator in elementary and in secondary. And her name is Christine, and I'm going to let her introduce herself and her story. Go ahead, Christine. Hi.
Hi, my name is Christine. I have a son, Alexander, 17 years old, diagnosed autism. And I also have an older daughter who's 20, Vanessa. And so Alex is 17, so he's been through like a lot of things in his lifetime to help him get to where he is. Some of the things that he does that I didn't think he was even going to be able to do, you know, especially communicate with us, was one of the things at first that I was really concerned about. When he was very young, he was developing pretty typically. And then when he was about a year old, I noticed that he wasn't, you know, developing language. He wasn't speaking. He wasn't requesting his needs like, you know, like a typical toddler would. He had some behavior that's like, just, you know, concerning. So I had him evaluated. At first we had his hearing tested. And then that kind of, you know, so he was hearing was fine. And then from there, this is the thing about, you know, autism at the time. I mean, this is going back 17 years, but a lot of the pediatricians were like, you know, oh, he's a boy. Oh, you know, he'll catch up. You know, let's wait a year. Let's see how he does. I was like, no, I don't want to wait. Just knowing what I know, you know, because I am a social worker, and I just had this gut feeling as a mom, and that's one thing that I tell parents all the time, like, go with your gut. And I had him evaluated at Bradley. He was diagnosed at like 2.5. And then I had him, the doctor that diagnosed him talked to us about ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis. And we looked into that to do different agencies. You had to apply for like a CEDAR program. You get into a program and then you go on a waiting list. It was like a long process at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's even worse or maybe the same. My knowledge, just because I was a social worker and because of the connections I had, I was able to get him in a little bit sooner. Probably other parents would have, I was able to navigate the system a bit better. So he started, you know, when he was almost 3, and it was a lot of in-home. So it was in-home every day, and it was long hours. And I had a lot of, you know, oh, you know, are you sure you want to do, because he was little, you know, oh, you know, that's a long day for him. That's a lot for him. A lot of family that would say, oh, you know, that's kind of like what, you know, for him. And I just, you know, I believed in what it was. I saw it working, and I believed in the people that, I mean, that has a lot to do with it. Like, if you feel comfortable with the people you work with, believe in them, it made all the difference. And I knew they really cared about Alex.
That makes a huge difference, right? And so when some of the things that you said about the development piece and knowing in your gut that something wasn't quite right and that you needed to get to the bottom of it, I wanted to know a little bit more about applied behavior analysis, what that looks like or what it looked like at the beginning.
At the beginning, it was very basic things. It was like, you know, put things in order. So there were certain things that I have to like think, like you had to go buy like a stacking. What are those things that they stack?
Yes, the rings. Yeah, yeah.
You had to get one of those blocks. So he had to copy. So he wasn't able to copy. So right. That was how he was able to, they were teaching him how to copy. So that was going to help him develop the copying of the language as well. So he was, first he was visually copying blocks and, you know, they would time, you know, they put a timer, okay, now do this, you have so much time to do this, so he wasn't trying to push him up, like, he wasn't, you know, he had so much time, like, he had a task, so he would have, like, visual, like, okay, you do this, and then you do this. First, it was one step, then it was two steps, it was very gradual.
Yeah.
It was over years, and it wasn't, like, it didn't, like, magically get better, like, right away. It took years for him to be able to eat poppy, you know? So,
which is amazing to be at the point you're at now, looking back on the beginning and those characteristics of him as a very young child, and now realizing what it's taken to get him where he is. And so, you know, what do you think that, so going back to the early days and having that in-home therapy, the applied behavior analysis, and having the support of people that were helpful and knowledgeable in what autism is and what that meant for Alex and your family, you know, what do you think as you started to enter into school, you know, what was really important and how did it go? And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. What was really important was like him being able to kind of coordinate what they were doing at home and carry that into school. And I have to say that that was a helpful, people were doing that, like they were helpful with that. So that was a big piece. Wanted people to be able to kind of think outside the box and not really, you know, expect like one certain thing is going to work for kids with one, you know, because that's kind of the time. Like, I know it's a little different now. It's progressed, thank God, but
right.
More like, okay, we're going to, I mean, some, it is in some, but with autism, I think we've come a long way since Alex has been little. You know, it was like, okay, we're going to try this stuff with him. It didn't work, like, you know, move on to something else. I think that was really important. And just to support, you know, what I did at home.
Right. And,
then to help. Yeah.
So you mentioned about the communication piece, right? That was kind of one of the first signs that you felt like, wow, one, he's not really, you know, he doesn't have language yet, and he's not really able to verbalize anything, right? And so, and I understand what you're saying about how it was a bit of a journey to get to the, you know, diagnosis, but can you talk a little bit about communication through the years with him and kind of where he is now and what's going on with that?
So communication through the years, so they started with like a picture schedule, he's doing the PEC system, you know, to request what he wanted. That was the first thing. And then kind of graduated into the iPad, that Prolotec.
Yes.
Then from the Prolotec, starting to repeat words, like he would just do like one word phrases. He would say like, you know, what he did, like, do you want pizza or, you know, chicken? And he'd say whatever, one word.
Right.
And then I don't know what it had, like, honestly, like it was almost like developmentally. I don't know if something clicks in their minds developmentally. It's just really interesting. I think, you know, again, with all the therapy, of course, but once he reached about middle school, and it's interesting to me, like, I think, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think it's because he really, like, socialization became more important to him.
Yes, yeah.
And it used to be, like, it really wasn't when he was little, and then it got to be more important. It was interesting to see him grow into that, like, he was starting to really be more interested in interacting with people, and so he was willing to learn how to do that, so it was a lot of scripting at first, like, you know, like, back and forth with the therapist, like, know, how are you? And then they would give him the prompt of how he's supposed to respond. But now he can do it spontaneously.
Oh, it's so great.
It's amazing. Like, if you ask him, it's, you know, it's still kind of scripted, but you ask, how are you, Alex? I'm good. How are you? I'm good. Thank you.
That's good. You know,
what color do you, or what, you know, you can ask him spontaneous, like, at least, you know, not like, you know, interview question.
Right.
You could, like, kind of spontaneous answers, and he'll answer a sentence instead of like one word answers.
That's awesome.
And I think that's from the practice of interacting, because he desired, I think when he was little, the desire was there as much as when he got older.
Right.
So it's so to see that change, you know.
That's a huge change, right? I mean, it's such a huge improvement in being able to do that for himself and having those really meaningful interactions. And, you know, it's interesting. I love the point about the developmental piece in middle school, where everything is about that social piece and that, you know, even with, you know, his needs, you know, he is a typically developing young man in many ways, you know, and so of course he would want to communicate with with other people. So it's just a fascinating thing that he's been able to really improve in that area. When you think about different behaviors over the years, you know, what would you say as a parent were some of the most challenging behaviors that you may have had to have dealt with, and how did you do it?
You know, the rigidness, his little not wanting to, you know, so we couldn't go to a restaurant because, you know, he wouldn't try any foods, mm-hmm. which is going to parties was hard because he doesn't like to be crowds. You know, then he'd want to leave after, you know, a few minutes, and we were staying there, and it was hard for him. You know, things like that. He was never the type of kid that would get violent or out or anything like that, or make a big scene. I never remember him having a huge scene anywhere, even when he didn't like the situation. He would just easily be lucky with that. I think that's a lot of that is his. It was just not personality.
Yes, he is. Yes, I would agree with you with that. Yeah, I mean, I can't recall ever seeing him in any other way than, you know, kind of, he would get a little upset, but that doesn't, he wouldn't have a full blown.
He was upset, but he wouldn't hurt you or blow up.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I was lucky.
Yeah. And so that's really, though, if you think about just the social part of when he was younger and your family dynamic, that clearly, I mean, that piece about, you know, going to parties or just events that other families might take for granted, like going out for dinner, you know. So how has he grown in those areas? Like, how is...
Oh, he has... So that's a lot... That's exposure, too. Like,
yeah.
So he now will go out to dinner. I will I'll ask him, would you like chicken or would you like this? Or at least now there's like more choices for him.
Yes.
And try it. He will, like, before he would refuse to try it. Now he tries it. He does.
That's great.
That he's been trying now. It's unbelievable. I even got him to eat Thai food.
Hey, you know what? That's great.
He ate it though.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge thing when you think about, you know, probably kind of the sensory pieces at the beginning of his journey, you know, in the early years, you know, maybe having some aversion to foods and textures and things like that, you know, and then to see him grow through the years as you made the excellent point of the exposure to those things and the practice of those things has led him to be able to make those choices. And do you find that there have been times that, you know, you're still like, are there problems still? Are you feeling like, you know, there are things that you struggle a little bit with him or?
Yeah. New situations will be different. Like, so we had a situation where I had to take him to the emergency room. That was difficult.
Yeah.
You know, new situation. He doesn't know what to expect. And anything that will make him feel uncomfortable was difficult for him, like that he doesn't, that he's never been, he doesn't know. It's hard to kind of trust it, you know, it's going to be in. So those kind of situations where maybe like an emergency comes up that he doesn't expect, unexpected stuff.
Sure. And so how do you prepare him for that?
I just try to like do whatever I like to calm him. Yeah. I mean, we were in the emergency room. We had, they gave it, you know, it was really nice. The putty helps sometimes, like that he likes, you know, the putty or the squishies or the something to do with his hand, being fidgety with his hands.
Right. And that's helpful.
Music. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, just because I know him personally, I'm thinking about his haircuts, right?
Oh.
And
hey.
What?
Oh my God, he can't get his hair cut now.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's also something that
that's
a huge thing, right? That we take like you're just going to go take your child to get a haircut and, you know, you weren't doing that before, right?
That's another thing. You're right. That was hard.
Yeah.
So John was
the haircuts. I know. And you know, and then I think about some of the other things too about, you know, unified sports. I remember at that time that he was involved in that. And you know, that all does start happening in the middle school years. And it makes me wonder about, you know, how to do it better at the elementary level, and or whether or not it's that, you know, developmentally he was just ready at middle school, right? We would never know. Everyone's different. Every student who has is on the spectrum has complete differences. But, you know, I'm kind of thinking about what are some of the things that, you know, because school has been such a huge part of his life, as well as the ABA therapy, what have been the real important things for you as a parent that have helped you along the way in your journey? Because I'm sure there have been times when, you know, it's been up and down, I'm sure, like any parent would say of any child, but, you know, especially with his challenges.
So one thing that was very helpful is having parents that also have kids. That was a really good thing to have. He went through the system with the same kids, and we've all become very good friends, actually socialized with each other. And like almost like, and we've said it gatherings, like, oh, you know, it's so nice because we don't have to worry, you know, about somebody thinking our kid was weird, you know, people like making comments. That's it, you know, I kind of, I'm in the mindset now, I don't care. Like, if somebody says something, I'm like,
right.
But some people, you know, it's still in your head. Like, you don't have to worry. It's like, it's not a worry. Like, everybody kind of just knows, like, you see your kid doing something weird, like, nobody cares.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's a good point, though.
Yeah. So that helped, having that support, having, you know, great teachers for him, you know, teachers that were willing, you know, think outside the box, and not, you know, if something didn't work, then we move on to something else. And, you know, and he's had really, I mean, from resource to like speech and language, I mean, I think the school system, I have to say, did a lot. I think they everything I ever asked for, they were, you know, yes, we can do that for a course. You know, they never gave me a hard time. I think that had to, you know, the willingness collaborate. Everybody, I think, genuinely loves my son.
Yes.
maybe I'm wrong, but I believe it.
Yeah.
And if you feel comfortable as a parent,
yeah,
because they truly love him.
Yeah.
You know? And that helps.
It takes that, right? I think it takes that. And I love the idea, you know, the team approach is what helps significantly because there are so many different service providers, you know, that coordination of what the speech language pathologist is working on and what, you know, OT is working on, what PT is doing, what your hopes are for him, what, you know, so much that goes into that and developing him in his independence.
Yeah, they always were willing to push it towards, like, they were like, you know, he can do this. I know he can do this. We're going to figure out how he's going to be doing this independently. He can do this,
right.
You know, like, his potential.
Yeah.
You know, potential.
That's so great. I mean, that's the key, right? I mean, it's really like having that team on your side.
Yeah.
So that you don't feel alone, because you're not alone, and you know, having that backup, I can't imagine. I know on the other side of it, you know, as a teacher, that is a very important part of our whole work together, you know, as a team. But you know, and you think about Alex and his development and everything that has made him who he is, and you know, I wish that the people listening knew his unbelievable personality, because he is a very funny, engaging young man now. I mean, I can't believe that he's 17. You said 17. I cannot believe that he's 17, and to know him and to think about him as a young man now, you know, so take yourself back at the beginning and now move forward, like in your head, like, what you hoped and dreamed for him at the beginning, and kind of that, like, where are you now?
Yeah, I'm honestly, like, and I know this, I mean, something to note that, like, a lot of parents, like, you go through, like, grieving process, like, when you get a child, have a child that's diagnosed with, you know, something like that. So I do remember feeling, like, defeated and not wanting, you know, not thinking that, and, you know, things were going to get better, and I was really frustrated. I do remember that. But I know that the help that I got from the, so what got me out of it, I have to like, so I did go to therapy.
Yep.
One of the things I feel strongly that, you know, that does help parents. Cause sometimes parents, I see, like, I'm just like, just from being another parent to not even what sure. I do, they're grieving, and then they take it on the person who's trying to help their child, you know?
Yes.
Tried not to do that. Like, I tried to be like, okay, I can't help my son. Like, that was the hardest thing to admit. Okay, I can't help my son. I gotta stay back, and I gotta let these people come in and help my son. That was like the hard part.
I can't even imagine that, you know, and it, that the courage that it's taken to do that, stepping back, mm-hmm. is really mm-hmm. unbelievable. And so I hear what you're saying with that, and like being mm-hmm. able to have a separate outlet, you know, mm-hmm. your therapist or family friends you're talking to, and being able to kind of,
that's important.
Yeah. You know, and when you think about him, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I just, it's just amazing when you think about him now, and your, have your hopes and dreams for him changed? Have your hopes and dreams?
Oh yeah. I mean, I say that all the time. Therapist, like, he's like, did you ever think that you'd be telling me that Alex did this, or Alex said this, or Alex is going to do this? And I'm like, no, I never did. Yeah. I never, I didn't. At that time, I did not believe it.
You couldn't see it, right? Yeah.
Oh.
And so, like, now, what are your hopes and dreams for him? What do you want as a parent for him?
I want him to be as happy as, you know, whatever makes him happy. You know, I would like to see him, you know, be able to go to a job someday. I think he can do that. Open to, a job that he likes.
Yeah.
He does mean he likes to work. He likes to do so, you know, finding something that he likes. Like, that's actually where we're at right now as far as the process. We're at, you know, the well, when if school would end, they'd be taking visit
places. Sure. Yep.
And so kind of, and as a parent, they were having me like think about like places he would like to work, or maybe things he would like to do. And I just wanted to be as happy as he can, and like, you know, just have a good life, really.
Right.
I mean, you know, he has that capability to be able to do that, to have a social life and to work. And
yes,
you know,
absolutely. And have such meaning. As he's had all along, with your support and the support of your team and your family and everyone. And so in thinking about, you know, thinking about teachers and thinking about your related service providers in school, you know, what advice would you give special educators about what you wish that everyone knew about a student like Alex, a student who has characteristics of ASD or have been diagnosed with ASD? What would you want them to know?
Not everybody is the same. You know, we're not all the same. Like, all kids on the spectrum don't have the same. Every kid on the spectrum doesn't like certain things, or does this certain thing. I think, like, just being able to understand that even though they might not be able to communicate that they're learning or they're understanding, they are.
Definitely. I agree with that.
Oh, that was especially with my son. More than, you know, he took in a lot more than people knew he was taking in. And then they realized it after, like, once, you know, he was able to communicate that he knew it.
Sure.
Yeah. But, just, you know, be aware of that. And just, you know, don't treat everybody the same. Like, always, you know, go in with an open mind and you know, understand that these kids, you know, are going to learn, and they might not learn the same way as other kids, but they are going to learn.
Right.
Are going to do well. And they do socialize. Like, that's the other piece. Like, they do want to be part, like, people think they don't want part of things. They do want to. Maybe they don't initiate themselves, but they want to be part of things. They do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that the initiation or initiating that experience or knowing how to enter a conversation or be part of something is probably where the struggle is right. a lot of the time. But you're right. Yeah. There's that human need of connecting and relationship that's so important. And mm-hmm. and it's absolutely true of Alex and all students on yes. the spectrum, right?
Yes. Yes. And people don't think so, but right. they communicate and be social.
Yeah. I find it really wonderful to be able to hear about the kinds of progress, the things that he's doing, you know, and being able to communicate his needs, thinking about, you know, what kind of job he will have in the future and, you know, planning moving forward. And I kind of think about something I remember a principal saying to me is that, you know, the student that you have in front of you, whoever that student is someone's entire whole world.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And I think there is nothing truer than that, that, you know, no matter who the student is,
yeah,
you know, someone loves that student so much. And so, you know, I am very grateful for your experience and sharing it and, you know, thinking about, how Alex is doing so well now and that he's happy and growing and 17 and all those wonderful things. And, you know, I guess I just wanted to get, you know, any closing comments you had about him that you wanted to impart to students who are listening.
Well, you know, he is my world. And that, you know, I never thought that I would get here, but I did. It's a long road. And, you know, just to just know that it's not going to happen. Like, if not to get frustrated, that, like, I'm giving teachers advice, like, don't get frustrated. It will happen. It might not happen, you know, today.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes it takes a while, and to not give up and not get frustrated and know that, you know, parents are, you know, it is their world, and parents do like to, like, so one thing that I did like about, you know, where he grew up is that they always involve the parents, make yes. sure that you know them, because they know that more. And that was one of the things that I used to not like when people were trying to tell me how to handle him.
Right.
You know, I know my son, I know what's wrong with him, like, you don't
right.
So, and I think that that's how parents are with their, especially when their kids have special needs, they want to be, you know, listened to and you know, valued and
yeah.
opinion valued, you know.
That's a great, great point. Yeah. Being able to ask the parent, what do you think is best?
Right.
What do you think works, or what's working for you? What do you right. think, you know, how do you think you would approach that? And working as a true team, you know, and mm-hmm. really listening. I love that you brought that point up. I think that's a really critical piece mm-hmm. of this.
Very critical for me.
You know, and I just mm-hmm. wish Alex all the best, as you know. And I'm so thankful for your time today. Thank you for joining us.
Okay.